Market View on Money FM 89.3.
It's a day when markets are choosing to shrug off the sight of protesters storming Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and instead stay upbeat on news that the Democrat Party is now taking control of the U.S. Senate, boosting prospects of further fiscal stimulus under the incoming Biden administration. But Chinese markets have fallen to the red today after a strong start to the year, with the New York Stock Exchange changing course yet again to proceed with the delisting of the ADRs of China's three major telcos. What will this all mean for markets across Greater China both this week and heading into 2021? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Peter Chun, the founder of Silver Bear Capital. He joins all the way live from Hong Kong to share with us his outlook for what's in store for Greater Chinese markets. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good day to you all.
Peter, you know, it's been a decent start for Chinese markets so far this year. But then when you look at the levels of the Shanghai Composite and the CSI 300, they're now above those levels in June 2015. And I want to start our interview here because that is the day when we saw a bubble in equities out in mainland China burst. Now, as a longtime investor who's been in the markets and probably also saw that event, are you concerned that a similar bursting or a pullback of this rally might happen? Or do you think this time around that the gains Greater Chinese stocks for the most part can be sustained?
This is actually a very hot topic right now in Asia. Everybody is kind of reading the data and the figure that's basically pointing north all the way long for China, which kind of gives the market sentiment much confidence to continue for the new year to come ahead. However, there is still the ripple effect that this clouding among the Asian market, especially China, because of the COVID. And there is so much talk about that, how the ripple effect will suffice during this part of the year, because it basically is a vicious circle that the COVID is creating. You know, people have to spend money on protecting themselves. They're working less. They're staying at home. There's less work. There's unemployment. The retail is dying. Property market's slow. All these ripple effect is about to come to surface at some point. So the conclusion here is, yes, the figure looks good to us, but then you see it's not really that good.
This week, of course, Peter, as we know, started off for the New York Stock Exchange, suddenly flip-flopping on the decision whether or not to delist the ADRs of those three Chinese telcos. And today we got confirmation that they have reversed course yet again and will proceed to delist the ADRs of the likes of China Mobile, China Unicom, and China Telecom. Now, Chinese security regulators have pointed out it's only about 2% of the equity valuation of these three telcos. They're not too worried about it. But how has this perhaps fed into some volatility and uncertainty for markets? Currently, we're seeing the Hang Seng down by about 0.4%, and the Shanghai Composite also trading a couple of points in the red, looking more sluggish than they have in the last couple of days. What are your thoughts on whether or not this will bring unwanted headwinds for Chinese markets in the form of the flip-flopping of the New York Stock Exchange?
Well, I think it's definitely not a sentimental move by the U.S. and about trying to delist three major size of telco company from China. Although they did flag some warning messages into the market about this earlier on in 2020 already. So there is a psychological preparation in the market space for something like this to happen. It's not a total surprise, but again, it's something that we think because of the issue between US and China, especially from initiated by the trade war, challenges that they have between them, this would become maybe a little battlefield between them to tell people maybe if China do not compromise what US is asking for, there is a step-by-step protocol that the US party will start to have implement against China because of the action and reaction between the negotiation between Chinese and U.S. for the trade war issues among the most of the things that is kind of matter to U.S. right now.
Right. The trade war, of course, still very ever present as a risk for Sino-U.S. relations and for global markets. Is there a concern, though, in China that there are other sectors that could follow? There are reports that the Trump administration, in the little time they have left, might try to put the likes of Alibaba and Tencent on an entity list. These two giants also facing scrutiny for antitrust behavior or alleged antitrust behavior, according to authorities in Beijing. They're also talking about the oil majors, for one, also perhaps being targeted next. Is there a concern that some of these moves from the New York Stock Exchange and some of these entity list moves from the administration might cascade into other sectors in mainland China and thus affect their stocks as well.
Well, it's always a action and a reaction picture here on our end. So when you hit somebody and then that somebody actually don't hit you back, but actually it hurts your fist as well by you hitting somebody. It doesn't really mean that the action against Chinese company would always benefit US. Yes, it would probably be able to prolong to other sectors, but just so you and all the fans of Money FM are listening, there is a fact that on the table for the last 2 years, a lot of the Chinese party and companies are actually acquiring a lot of the U.S. oil assets with the blessing of the U.S. government.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So that means that after all, business world is business world. And when there is a benefit that would make sense for the U.S. end, probably U.S. would probably need to take necessary steps or procedures to protect their interest. I think the start of the telco issues and the incidents right now is only a start, but could it be prolonged to other sectors? Yes, probably to other sectors that would probably be allowed China to feel certain pressure or tension from this. However, when you delist a company, it means less turnover on your stock exchange, less liquidity. There's also issues with doing that. That's probably not helping the U.S. market as well on the capital market end. I think this will have to see how the trade war negotiation would turn out, and then hopefully the compromisation between China and U.S. can come closer at a certain point this year, so that the market is just, because we're all busy fighting COVID already, and so we don't have to take another piece of bandwidth from ourselves trying to fight other issues.
As we know, a lot of these companies that we just mentioned, the telcos, the oil majors, Alibaba, Tencent, they're all listed, of course, in Hong Kong and might be weighing on the Hang Seng moving forward. But for the rest of the Hong Kong equity space, what is Silverberg Capital's stance on Hong Kong stocks now for 2021? Is it more uncertain or perhaps more optimistic for Hong Kong stocks?
Again, I think the ripple effect will surface anytime. And then the job for us right now is to cherry pick management or companies who actually realize that issue and be able to reposition themselves for the ripple effect to surface. Obviously, China market has slowed down, but it's still a very big economy right beside Hong Kong. So how management or companies are able to leverage that being case during this pandemic, it's also a question that we'll be asking ourselves, which or who will be able to do a good job during this time. Anything with mobile component will be a preference. Anything with an online component is a plus. And then we just have to slowly cherry pick the right companies that will be able to take advantage of this downturn.
Peter, what is your outlook now at Silverberg Capital for the yuan? Policymakers seem to be trying to at least cool the RMB's recent flex and saying, hey, we want it strong, but maybe not this strong at the moment. What do you think is in store for the renminbi this year, especially given the fact that the dollar seems to be continuing its trajectory downward?
Our strategy right now is, of course, to have faith in RMB. The only problem is because if the RMB is growing too strong, it also kind of slows down economy as well, because if you grow too strong, then your stuff becomes too expensive. It's not really helping because a lot of the money being made by China for the last 20 years was to export quality products outside of China, benefiting all the other countries outside, as well as making money for China companies as well. So I think the balance here is to see how China be able to redefine manufacturing, because obviously we have enjoyed the growth and the wealth from the manufacturing age, and how we can define, because obviously the population have evolved right now. So a lot of people are more educated. They move from working in a factory to, say, in an office in a very high story tower in Shanghai. The redefinition of manufacturing is the key to understanding what you just asked. From our perspective, we are looking at how China is going to turn automation into the factory successfully. Already, there is a lot of government subsidiaries and help from China to help companies or factories or manufacturers to actually achieve the same. And because we are seeing that, so we do have a strategy storing RMB into our portfolio. And we just don't want to go over the top just because, as I said, there needs to be a balance between how strong you should grow and then how much we should take in. But overall, we are advising our client to buy RMB this year.
And finally, Peter, just very quickly, there's a lot of opportunities or a lot of hope, let me put it that way, in 2021 that the worst might be behind us. But there's still a lot, of course, uncertainties as usual. What is Silver Bear's overall strategy heading into the year?
This year, we wanted to continue to look at online companies, e-commerce, obviously, new energy company is on our radar. We are not going to chase down the road whereby companies that is already are very successful on the market. We're looking at companies that is making new pioneering technologies that is going to complement the existing ones that are in the sector already. We are looking into medicines, obviously, that those medicines companies who has initiatives in fighting the new disease or has strategy to work around the environment would be our pick. So real estates, we will start to pick up probably around Q3 when I think the dust will settle down by then, and then we can probably be able to find some good deals around us. On the other end, I think the capital market is basically still active. We have some faith in the US and Hong Kong market at the same time, China as well. But I think although COVID is complicating us quite a bit, but I think the stock market is going to still do well.
Peter Chun, founder of Silver Bear Capital, thank you so much for spending some time to join us here on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and happiness, at least in the new year, and a great rest of the week ahead, sir. Take it easy.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.